let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Rave reviews for the fascinating new science fiction story, Alien Encounter. Terry Parker's debut novel and the first of a planned trilogy, when an exploratory craft from the planet Gaia picks up a weak, undecipherable signal from a distant backwater planet, the crew decides to take a risk and check it out. What they discover is Earth, a planet populated by the first sentient beings any Gaians have encountered beyond themselves. The crew makes several attempts to contact and interact with humans, and eventually they find themselves approaching a secret U.S. base located near Alice Springs, where their first contact with humanity demonstrates the power of emotion. Terry Parker was born in Yorkshire, has been writing since the age of 12. He moved to the UK, from the UK to Australia with his family at age 14, served as a naval officer and as an IT project manager, currently living in Australia. And Terry Parker, author of Alien Encounter, joins us by Skype from Australia on This Week in America. Terry, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
G'day, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me.
I'm glad you greeted me with that official Australian greeting. I love that. It's worth getting up to call somebody in Australia just to get that official Australian greeting. You've done such a nice job with Alien Encounters. I mentioned the rave reviews you've been receiving. This book is different. You've got a really unique story that you're telling here. Why should people read Alien Encounter, would you say?
Well, first of all, I thought that introduction was marvelous. I mean, obviously, you've got the whole idea of what I'm trying to write. I think the basis is I love science fiction. I think science fiction tells us stories that no other genre can tell us. So, yes, sure, it's an adventure, and I think we all love stories about adventure, but it's also a peek into the future, if you like. So if you look at, for example, just you and I here now, talking, we're 12,000 miles or so apart on different continents. 100 years ago, that people just couldn't imagine that.
Yes.
So science fiction allows you to actually take a peek into the future and look at what the future might look like, and how people can, for example, one of the things I talk about or try to expound on in Alien Encounter is the idea that we could actually telepathically talk to each other. This has been, you know, around for a long time. The idea that logic might overcome emotion and will become very, very logical. So they're the Gaians. The Gaians are, by the way, the Gaians are matriarchal. So women are in charge. Men are very much inferior. And they're highly intelligent. The intelligence is, you know, greater than the Earth people, so they kind of look down on us. And they go forward, and they're thinking about the talking to each other by telepathy. And I'm going off the point a little bit, but what interested me when I was writing this, and it took me about 4 years to write, was this idea that even if you're super intelligent, you can get things wrong. And if you look at, and if you try to play the game by logic alone, it will fail. And the Gaians fail time and time again when they try to contact Earth people.
The book is so well done. This is Alien Encounter by Terry Parker, our guest coming to us from Australia. Now, his website is terryparker.com.au. So be sure you get that in there, and you can, books available at Amazon, the usual places. We'll have all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book is a different approach. It's a little bit comedic in spots. You've got the adventure. Yes. It'll get you thinking as well. You're an excellent storyteller. Talk a little bit about that in your background, why storytelling is so important to you, and taking that ability to tell stories and spinning this great world that you've created in Alien Encounter. First, storytelling and why you decided to write this particular story.
Well, I'm going to take a little while to answer that question, if you don't mind.
No, please do.
First of all, I was born in Northern Yorkshire farming area. Not big on books or education or things like that, but a very I suppose, deep culture in storytelling. So I was kind of born into a storytelling world. My father used to, and he's still with us, he still tells many, many stories, in fact, far too many in my view. But stories are kind of built into me. And ever since I was, my first book, for example, I wrote, I think, at the age of 8. You can't get it on Amazon, unfortunately. It was called Harris in Blunderland. And it was about, same as Alice, but this guy just did everything wrong. So I've always told stories all my life. I write stuff down. I've got piles and piles of writing that I've done. What actually triggered this particular book was that my grandson, who's age 12, kind of lost interest in writing. So my daughter said, can you write something for him? So I wrote what's now a short story, chapter 2 of Alien Encounter. He liked it, so I kept on writing, and then it kind of morphed into a book, if you like, of Alien Encounter. But not just, I want to stress that I don't think the book is just for 12-year-olds or anything like that. It's a, you know, goes across any age group, I would hope. So I've always told stories.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's interesting. It's such a talent that you have, and you tell it so well. And you mentioned it's not just for young people. It's for everybody. When you read the reviews, you've got young people, and you've got older people. It's like, this is not only a great story, it really gets us thinking. And let's talk a little bit more about the plot of Alien Encounter, because you do really get us thinking. We do. We think a lot about emotion. We think about logic. You bring that to the forefront, and we sort of sort this out, and this is the Gaians are looking at us, and they're thinking they're like us, except they're really not like us. They're using this emotion that we feel is meaningless in our society. Talk about developing those storylines.
It's always been I'm a bit of a philosopher, I guess, in some ways. It's always interested me, the contrast, if you like, between pure logic, which the Gaians are purely logical. And on Earth, we humans tend to make more decisions based on emotion than on logic. Your own presidential race just recently, I think most of the votes would have been cast based on the emotion of the people who are casting the votes, not on necessarily the logic of either Joe Biden or Donald Trump. So the theory that I had was that when you're making decisions, you need to think about both. You need to balance the emotion, because people will respond to the emotion, not to the logic. But they also need to understand the logic so they can say, hey, yeah, that makes sense. We'll do that. So that's how I've, if you like, positioned Alien Encounter. The other thing, too, is that I like the idea of a superior race coming to Earth and finding us to be very backward, because I think sometimes we get very arrogant in our views.
Yes, we do.
Sometimes we need to think back and say, well, you know, we're just people. How can we make a better world, if you like? So yeah, that's the kind of thing behind it. But I guess the other thing too is, if I may say so, is I think science fiction as a genre is really very powerful. And the reason for that is it can look at the future and see what the future is going to look like. Now, it might not be right, but at least it lets us think about where we're going, what's the purpose in life, those kinds of things. So yeah, I guess I hope that answers your question.
Well, it does. It gives us some good background as to how you came up with the storyline in Alien Encounter, by the way, the first of a planned trilogy. We'll talk about that as we go through the conversation. Sure. Terry Parker is our guest. His website is terryparker.com.au. He's on Skype coming to us from Australia. The video portion of the program you'll find if you Google it on YouTube. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and click on the icons for video, and you'll be able to see the interview with Terry. Let's talk about this foundation you have of science fiction and this foundation that you have of writing. Let's go back to your childhood. Where did this come from?
That's how. Well, first of all, just about the science fiction part of your question, my profession is as an engineer, so I've always been used to thinking about things and how they all fit together. As far as the storytelling bit about it, I don't know. I think it's built into me. I think it's built into a lot of writers. I think everything I do is a story, right? So this morning I was thinking about, hey, I've got to do an interview with Rick Bratton. How is it going to pan out? What's going to happen? So I kind of built a story in my own mind, and I do that all the time. Everything is a story to me. I don't know where the tradition comes from, other than, Northern Yorkshire. But and also, I guess when I think about it, a lot of things have happened in my life. My family emigrated to Australia in 1964, and we ended up in a migrant hostel, which was, well, as you can imagine, not terribly pleasant. And then we moved up to Woomera, which is a rocket range in the middle of Australia, well, just south of Alice Springs. Of course, that's where the book is mainly based.
Yes.
And then later on, I joined the Royal Australian Navy, went through 10 years of being seasick most of the time. So, I've always had this sort of, I don't know, narrative, I suppose you'd call it, that's been kind of going on in my life. I've written a lot about that. It's kind of a way of me, I guess, explaining the world to myself,
Who is
if
your
that answers the question.
Yeah, who is your favorite author? Are there authors that really sort of like not only impressed you, but maybe influenced you in your thinking, your approach to writing?
Absolutely. So I love the classic science fiction writers, and I've read most of them. But one stands out to me, and that's Isaac Asimov.
Oh, yes.
For a number of reasons. One, he was a professor of, I think, biochemistry or something like that at MIT in Boston, and I actually lived in Boston for 2 years. Well, my family did. I lived with my family. And Asimov just always, he's always got a story to tell, but he's also got something underneath it that makes you really think about life and the future. He's got so many great ideas, that you wouldn't find anywhere else. So definitely Isaac Asimov is my favorite. I think I've read all of his books, well, at least every one I can find. And one of the really beautiful things about Asimov was he wrote all these books about all sorts of different things, and then he kind of connected them all together. So they become a sort of panoply of the world, if you like, and
Yes.
how and where it's going. Yeah, Asimov, definitely.
What were the influences on you at an early age? You mentioned that you're very young. I think of maybe 9, 10, 12, somewhere in that category. When you actually started writing, were you a reader as a child? Was that where this all began, that you had a book all the time and that evolved into writing yourself?
Well, I was very sporty as well, so I still am, I hope. So I had this kind of fairly physical thing and but academic. So in a farming country, as you can imagine, being physical was a good thing, but people didn't generally read. I used to read all the time for whatever reason. I think my mother in particular got particularly worried about that because she talked to me and I wouldn't answer her. So she actually took me to a hearing specialist because she thought my hearing was going. But I was just so absorbed in books ever from a very young age. And also that was not something that was common in England where I was growing up. We were it was very much a kind of a class system, I suppose. That we were very, my family was very much working class. We lived near the gas works, if you like. It was very unusual for somebody to actually be academically oriented. I had a wonderful, wonderful childhood, just idyllic, playing in fields and things like that. And a lot of that was, I guess what it does when you're left to yourself, you might have friends, you just paint this picture of a story, and your imagination goes wild. And I think that's partly why I started writing, was because I love the idea of using your imagination to do things, and also sometimes to placate yourself because you've got into trouble, which I did a little bit, I must confess.
Well, yeah, that'll be another.
I was very lucky with my mother and father as well, because whilst they were not academic at all, they never pushed me. They encouraged me, and as a result, I was able to later on, you know, go to university and become an engineer.
I won't dwell on you getting in trouble. That'll be another book, maybe on down the line. We'll keep people waiting for that. It'll be an adult book, not a kid's book. Keep it away from the kids when you pick up a copy of that.
50 Shades of Terry.
You know, it's interesting, this fascination with writing, and you do it so well. And what, after you got out of the Navy, you had some experience writing, not just fiction, but you did writing and then made that transition into writing fiction. What has that been like? You're taking something, you're writing a manual for computers, I believe. So you've got to be factual. Yeah. You've got to be point on. You there's nothing there implied. You've got to be very specific in dealing with people. Now you're putting your story out there, fiction, and getting us to think a little bit. And we all maybe have different interpretations of your storyline. Talk about that transition from factual writing to fiction.
It's, well, first of all, from a purely ordinary point of view, I started doing less. I became a project manager or project consultant. I really enjoyed that, talking to people, interacting with people. And I decided that I was going to do less and less of that. I still do it, but not all that often. And so there was kind of a gap there, if you like. I mean, yeah, I played tennis and I did this and that. And I found that by continuing and even increasing the amount of stuff that I wrote, it gave me a great deal of satisfaction. So really, it's quite selfish. I started writing because I really enjoyed writing. And now I normally sit down for an hour a day and just write, even if it's not going to be published. I just enjoy doing it. And I enjoy the perspective of understanding. In a way, I understand myself better when I write.
You know, that's interesting.
I force myself to actually write stuff down that I can't deny, if you like.
You've got this ability with the craft of writing. And now you put with that your curiosity and your background, like many. You used to go out as a child, lay in the grass, look up in the heavens, and do it at night, too, and see all the stars up there and wonder what's there. Are we alone? Who else is up there? Do you still have that curiosity today that you had as a child?
Absolutely, yeah. That's a good one, and thank you for bringing that up, because it's a memory that will stay with me for the rest of my life. I wonder how many people do actually do it. When in Northern Yorkshire, I used to lie in my, when it wasn't raining, of course, I'd lie in the back field, my granduncle's back field, just lie in the grass and look up at the stars. And, thinking these things are an incredible distance away, the light that comes from them could be thousands of years old by the time it gets to us. And
yes,
maybe there's somebody out there. In fact, probability suggests that it has to be. There's somebody out there that is looking back at me as I look at them. And that's kind of where this alien encounter kind of thing came from. And the other thing too, is that one of the things that's always fascinated me, when we moved to Woomera, of course, you could imagine, we're in the Australian desert, south of Alice Springs, and we're in the desert, which is the exact opposite of Northern Yorkshire, which is very luxuriant and farming and cows and sheep and all that kind of stuff. And the desert, when you first look at it, it looks plain and ordinary, but it's not. It's just, and it kind of, I suppose in a way, it kind of reflects the universe. It's vast. It's something you can't quite get your mind around, if you like. And that's how I think of the universe, as amazing stuff.
It's so many of us, as we get older, we sort of lose that sense of wonder, that sense of curiosity. Yeah. Terry has it. That, along with his skill at writing, has produced an excellent book, Alien Encounter. The book is available at Amazon, the usual places. His website is very simple. It's terryparker.com.au. I say simple, but remember the .au. But you'll find the book available here at in all of the places. A few minutes left in the program. We've sort of laid the groundwork. I don't want to give away too much. Have we told them enough to get the... to get them interested? I don't want to go too far and give them too much information, but the book is so well done all the way throughout. That's one of the, it's a literal page turner. Once you get going, you want to see what's happening next. Have we given them enough without giving them too much?
Well, I thought your introduction was spot on. It was particularly well presented. It gave most of the key facts. The second part of the book, by the way, takes people back to the two heroes, Jim Stewart, who is a PhD student, who is exploring in the South Australian desert. They take Jim back with them, and then it becomes this battle, if you like, between logic and emotion, which is finally resolved. But now I think we've told people enough. I would say, though, as a final kind of comment, why would you read it? I think it's a good adventure. I certainly enjoyed writing it. But also, as you say, we don't imagine enough. We don't wonder enough about the kind of world we live in. We tend to be very critical sometimes, which, you know, to turn it around and say, wow, what? I'm talking to a guy 12,000 miles away. That is amazing to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we've given them enough.
Yeah, I'm talking to a guy that's in tomorrow, and you're talking to a guy that's yesterday with the time zone change here. And okay, I'm getting a headache now. It's a little hard to comprehend all of this. I mentioned this is the first of a trilogy. I'll talk about what the other two coming up, but when you started Alien Encounter, did you know this was going to be the first of three, or did that sort of evolve as you were telling the story that, like, I may do a trilogy out of this?
Well, a bit of both, really. The first thing was that, as I said to you before, I've always written, so I'd already started writing other books. The third in the trilogy is going to be called Bubble World. I won't explain any more details than that. But I'd already written half of Bubble World when I started writing Alien Encounter. So it was really just I needed a book to go between the two so that I could connect them all together. And I suppose the other thing is science fiction, Asimov in particular, his classic Foundation series or Foundation trilogy. So science fiction writers, I think, like to write trilogies. They like to sort of build stuff up and tell an even elongated story, if you like. So, yeah, that's where it came from. To some extent, it's all the writings that I've, not all, but some of the writings I've done sort of, it made sense to sort of plug them in here and plug them in there and then try to make it, well, hopefully, a very smooth, connected trilogy.
The first is Alien Encounter. That's the one we're talking about. The sequel is Rogue Alien. How are you coming with that?
It's nearly finished.
Perfect. Great.
It contains the same people. So Jim Stewart and Malmo, who's the Gaian commander, are in that, and it talks about a threat to Earth, and it's also a story about, if you like, I won't say categorically heaven and hell, but some reason why we humans are both good and bad, if you like. So we get a sort of a presence, I call it.
Yes.
Diablo, who arrives on Earth to try and make Earth totally anarchic so that it can feed on the negative emotions.
When do you think that'll be published, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about it?
Oh, that'd be lovely. Middle of the year, I hope, that I'll be able
fantastic.
To publish that. It's just about finished, but... I don't like sort of sending stuff out unless I'm absolutely satisfied with it. So
and I don't want to pin you down either. Editing. No pressure, but we'll be looking forward to that as well. And the third book is Bubble World. All of these books available and all the information. If you're curious as to when Rogue Alien is coming out, you'll find out by going to Terry's website. Our guest has been Terry Parker. His book is Alien Encounter. That's the first of the trilogy. Book available at his website, terryparker.com.au. Book available here, Amazon, all of the usual places, and all this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Terry, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. I know you sort of, in your mind, had some idea where this interview was going to go. I hope we followed the script and we covered the areas that you wanted to cover on the program today. This has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us. Looking forward to having you back to talk about the second in the trilogy. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Rick. It's been a great pleasure. And it's lovely to be able to talk about the things that really... motivate me. So thank you so much. And I do hope your readers enjoy the book.
Well, we appreciate getting into your world, sharing your world in your books and on the program today. The book is Alien Encounter, Terry Parker. His website is terryparker.com.au. All the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.